Seeing none, great. We're going to go ahead and move on to item four, discussion of possible action of the report from the technical consultant. I guess we're going to start with Brian today, right?
Good morning, everyone. Please, are you controlling?
I'm controlling.
Let's go into the agenda. We might have a short meeting today. If you go back, sorry. I just wanted to kind of go over what we'll cover. Like always, general update and schedule update. Jenna's going to provide an update on the progress that we're making with Task Force C, which is the performance of FMEs. And then we are introducing Task 5A, which is the FMX recommendations, and to see if we can get any feedback from y'all if we want to deviate from what we did last cycle. So, go to the next slide. So, some very general updates. If you recall, we did submit the technical memorandum and we got a notice from the board that it is administratively complete. So we're just waiting on comments from them on that. We'll let you know when we get those comments. I assume it'll be before the next meeting. So we'll see. Task 5B, this is the performance of FMEs that are being done by the development board. We did submit that list of FMEs to them. We received comments on that, and we did provide those responses, and I believe the first two FMEs are being initiated now or shortly soon to be completed within this year or early next year to be incorporated into this regional flood plan. I did want to let y'all know that the development board did release the flood infrastructure intended use plan for the 2026-2027 cycle. I did do a review, so did Jenna, so we can maybe answer any questions if y'all have them. We also have Alexa with the development board here with us as well, but I did want to kind of give you an overview of what it is. This is the plan for how flood infrastructure fund funds are going to be distributed, processed, and distributed. So there's information on their website that's linked up on top there, and the first link is the draft plan that you can read in detail. And then the other links below that, the first one is the current list of FMXs and how they're ranked according to the current ranking metrics. So all of the FMXs across the state that were incorporated with the last amendment that we did for the 2023 plan, those are all in that list. And so you can kind of see how FMXs are rankings. Those three different categories is FMEs are ranked together, FMPs are ranked together, and FMSs are ranked together. And you can pull up those different sheets there so you can kind of see how they're ranking. But again, that first link is how the different weights are being distributed. How much is the BCA? How much is that weighting on the ranking and all that kind of stuff? So all that information is up there for y'all to review. And at the very bottom, you can see there's a link for y'all to provide comments. So if y'all have any comments that y'all want to submit to the development board after you review it, they are receiving comments until June 12th, I believe. So go to the next slide. Yeah, so comments until June 12th using that comment form. After they receive comments, they will soon thereafter open it up for abridged applications for the 2026 to 2027 fifth. So this will give communities to be able to submit an abridged application for anything that's listed on that list. So anything that's been incorporated from the last amendment into the regional flood plan, they have the opportunity to apply for funding through the flood infrastructure fund.
So just when he says y'all, a lot of times he's talking to just voting members. This is the everybody y'all. Everybody out there, every city, every consultant who's hustling projects who are trying to get a solution through, getting it in the plan, which is what we're here about. That's what the regional flood planning group can do. We're only part of that. You get in the plan, and most of you get in the plan to get money. And the only way to get money is you get it through the fifth fund. And this is how that money is distributed. So this is your chance to go in and look at how are they making the allocations? How are they ranking things? And to give feedback on that process so that it works maybe into what you think is the ideal going forward. There's a lot of positive changes they've already made. This is the second time through, right? So they learned some things, they've reallocated. But while we can't control this from the regional thing, the good news is everybody can comment directly on this. So I strongly encourage every community, everybody who's chasing dollars, you need to learn about this intended use plan and you need to learn about it. That'll also help you as you go forward when you craft your projects and you submit them to the plan. You want to make sure that they're kind of packaged well enough so that they're going to sort of score well at the end, right? So that you're answering the right questions, you're addressing the stuff. For the most part, they're hand in hand, the plan and the scoring. But sometimes there's some nuances that you can learn about by looking at that back end. And with that, I'm going to, Sujeet's got his hand raised.
Yeah, thanks, Alicia.
Chair, I think, you know, whatever you said, can we summarize in a nice piece of paper and put it on our webpage and email it to everyone so that we are only a part of the solution. There's other part, I think, as you mentioned, that they need to advocate their position.
Sure. Well, I think we put some of this information already out on the webpage, but we can
put out a newsletter. I know the development board also has their newsletter too, but if there's something specific, Sujeet, let me know so that I can make sure that I incorporate everything that you're interested in.
I think whatever Alicia said, I think, you know, she laid out the case right there, whether they agree with the process or not. I think, you know, A, they're in the plan. That's what we did. But B, they got to do their stuff, you know. Is it beneficial or they have any issues on the methodology or something? That's a comment period. So I think, you know, it gives them a chance to comment, and whoever at the TWD put that one in, there may be or may not be. I think it's outside our control.
Okay, so I'll put together a draft, I assume like an email flyer and something to put on the webpage. I'll maybe send you a draft to you, Sujeet, and Alicia's getting comments from y'all.
Yeah, send it to me and Pam, and then we'll look through. I think he's just wanting to make sure that we do a good job explaining the different roles, right? I think even though we don't have a direct hand in this, we really want to, as our region, try to help connect everybody to those different pieces, but also making sure everybody's clear on who does what part, so that they get their feedback in the right place.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I did have a few notes on some changes, that some major changes from last cycle or from the last IUP. One is that now entities can only apply for two abridged applications per category. So a city wants to apply for FME, they can only apply for two, but they can also apply for two FMPs as well. So there's a limitation there. And then there is a more regional goal of, they want to make sure that each region's getting something funded. So there is a priority to make sure that each region gets at least one approved application, and they're not just going down the list from top to bottom. So
that's a huge change. That's something we've all been asking for, right? Like, let's not send all the money to Houston, right? We've all been saying that. Well, they made a change for us to make sure we get some money out to each region. So they're listening, and these are good things. So we want to make sure we continue to give them feedback when they're listening and making those changes for us.
And is there anything I missed? Key highlights? You recall? Put you on the spot.
I think those were the two major ones.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's... so that's all on the IUP. If there's no further questions, we did submit a draft chapter 3. It is a long one, so I know I don't expect y'all all to have read it. I just wanted to let y'all know that it's out there, and y'all feel free to email Pam with any questions or comments on this chapter, and she'll forward those to me. So just want to let y'all know that's out there for y'all's review. It's just draft. I just wanted to get this in front of y'all while it's fresh in our mind. Because it'll be early next year before you'll see it again. Next meeting, we will have chapter 2 for y'all. We had to finish up some data processing on that and couldn't get it in front of y'all quite in time for this meeting, but we will have that the next meeting for y'all to review. So that means y'all will have reviewed 1, 2, and 3 by next meeting or at the next meeting. Next slide, PM. The schedule update where we're at for the rest of the year. So starting from the top, Task Force C, we're still in the middle of performing FMEs. Jenna will provide an update on that after this. Task 5A, that's what we're introducing today. This is where we're making the recommendations for FMXs to be included in the regional flood plan. So that will carry over the next several months, and we'll try to finalize Task 5A in the fall. To get that final list together. Task 5B is the Texas Water Development Board performing their FMEs. They're getting excited on that, but again, they'll be working throughout the rest of the year to actually perform those two studies that are on that list. Task 7 and 8, that will be pushed, that's pushed out to start later in the year. These are not critical items, so we wanted to kind of get some of this stuff rolling before we introduce those two tasks. And then we're always doing public engagement, including this meeting, so that's an ongoing task. Next slide. Well, I'll hand it over to Jenna. She's going to cover the performance of FMEs that our group, our technical team, is doing.
Yeah, so just to give you all a brief update on where we're at with those, in our last meeting back in March, y'all had formally approved us to start action on our three FMEs. So first wanted to give y'all a schedule overview of kind of what to expect, how we'll be performing these, and when y'all will see specific results. So right now we're in the midst of doing some existing conditions analysis, make sure we understand what's currently happening in these areas from a flood risk standpoint. And we'll be wrapping that up in kind of the middle of summer, and we'll touch base with communities and verify that everything we're seeing in our modeling and analysis effort is what they've seen in the past and that this makes sense to them. And from there, we'll dive into actually doing alternative analysis and identifying what regional projects can really benefit these areas. And we'll spend most of our time on that to really identify some regional FMPs for these communities. And then in the fall, we'll touch base again with our sponsors and make sure the FMPs we've identified, again, make sense to them. It's something that they could potentially implement. Run it past them. Are there any other items they want us to explore while we're analyzing? And then move into some documentation, make sure we fill in all of our tables and make sure they qualify to meet all of our plan guidance and have a good chance at getting funding in the future. And we'll wrap up early next year so that we can incorporate these into the draft flood plan. Next slide. So just a refresher on what three areas we're looking at to start with. We have Barron's Branch, which is here in City of Waco for those in the room. And we're looking at kind of a downtown area in Waco where there's a major channel that goes through a residential area. And it's caused some pretty heavy flood risk to some of these structures in the past. There has been some previous study efforts that have focused on more small projects of localized storm sewer. So we're building upon that to see, are there any more regional improvements we can recommend for Barron's Branch itself that ties into these local improvements to really benefit the area as a whole. We have Turtle Creek in City of Belton, and this is another creek that runs through residential and some commercial area. And there's a couple of really frequently flooded structures through here as well that the city has battled with over the past several years. So they're excited for us to take a look and see what projects could potentially help with that frequent flooding they've been seeing. And then finally, we have Bee Creek in College Station. And this is also another one where we're building upon a previous study that was done about 10 years ago. They had some recommendations out of it, but they want us to go back and verify that the existing conditions really looks like what they think it looks like. The results of that previous study, they weren't positive that that's what they had experienced in the past. So they weren't sure that the project solutions would make sense. So we're revisiting it and verifying that the project solutions do make sense and that they could really improve lives here. And this is a very vocal community for them as well. That they hear from a lot on flood risk complaints. So they're excited to get some project ideas that they could implement to reduce risk. Next slide. Thank you. So our current progress is we've been coordinating with the sponsors to obtain any existing data, especially these areas that have been studied before, making sure we're getting any past analysis and using what we can from that so we're not duplicating any effort. And then also collecting relevant public data where there's as-built data of key crossing structures, getting that information and incorporating it into our model development, which is what we're really heavily focused on, assessing what are the hydraulics and hydrology of these areas currently. So we'll continue that model development through the summer. And again, we're targeting kind of a July workshop with the sponsors to go over those existing conditions results. And then we can also present those existing conditions results to you all at our July RFPG meeting. any questions on our current progress or what's upcoming on these?
And so all three of those are happening simultaneously?
Correct.
And then you'll collaborate with the communities and there'll be a public component with those through the communities?
Yes, and they'll decide if they want that to be kind of after we have some projects identified up front. We'll work with them on when makes most sense for their community.
Any questions on that before we go forward?
Next up is task 5A, reintroducing this, and this is kind of the main part of our meeting today. So task 5A is just a continuation really of task 4A. And as a reminder, task 4A is where we went out and collected FMXs from the communities. This is, you know, your projects, your studies, your strategies. This is after the amendment, so we had done a lot of effort to gather as many FMXs as we could for the amendment that was closed, and then we reopened almost immediately to gather all these new additional FMXs to be incorporated into this regional floodplain. So we went out there and collected it, we screened them, and did a lot of coordination and public outreach with different communities. We did some pre-screening evaluation to make sure they were meeting that 1 square mile threshold that we had. If it fell below that, it became infeasible. If it was above that, it was feasible. And then we did some preliminary classification. Is there enough models for it to classify as an F, or is there enough information, including models, for it to classify as an FMP? If not, got kicked down to an FME. So we went through an initial classification to put them in their different buckets, FMP, FME, FMS, and infeasible. And so that's where we left it off. That's, we put that into the technical memo that was submitted to the development board. We are now picking this up again. And we are doing really a much closer look at all of this. We're looking at the FMPs in high detail, making sure there really was all the necessary information to create those metrics. And if it doesn't, then there might be some class reclassification that happens, but we're going to try to keep that to a minimum. We try to do the best we could to do an initial classification. So we're continuing that evaluation process. We're continuing to look at these. What we need to decide today, and I'll have this at the last slide, is if there's anything, this is really to look at those and see which ones we want to recommend to be included in the floodplan. So that gives you all some control on what makes it into the floodplan and what doesn't. So they'll still all be listed in the floodplan, but this is the final recommendation of what's actually eligible for funding in the future. So if you go to the next slide, I'll talk a little bit more about that. So just as a reminder of the metrics, we did get 17 communities or sponsors submit. We had a total of 97 submittals. Due to different, some of them were not flood related. They were like water related. Some were too small, so they didn't meet that local 1 square mile threshold. So out of that initial screening, 63 of those came out as potentially feasible FMXs. You can go to the next slide. And this is a little bit further of a breakdown of what different types we've got. I won't go through it all in detail, but it's listed there just so you can kind of see what distribution we have. Again, we're really heavy on FMPs, which has been rare in the past. And the reason for that is because during the amendment, we did not accept FMPs. We only accepted FMEs. And just due to the time constraints, and they take a lot of time to evaluate those. So whenever we reopened up after the amendment, we then pulled in these FMPs and got a heavier dose of those, so which is really good. I think that's been a desire of the development board to get more of these construction, not really construction ready, but projects that can actually be constructed and implemented and not just studying everything. So,
yes, Sujeet, did you have a question?
Yes, Chair. Ryan, on this flood warning system, I know that we do have some cities come up for the funding right there. Did we ever have anything from Brazos? I think, you know, maybe have we ever done anything where Brazos can typically be given some funds because the flood alert on Brazos is more devastating than the smaller stuff, whatever we run into?
You're talking about the river, Brazos?
Yes. Yes.
For a flood warning system, no sponsor has submitted anything to put flood warning on the Brazos River. So we would need someone to sponsor it, and no one submitted it. And I don't know of anyone who's been offering to put their name to that. So to answer your question, no, we don't have anything like that currently in the flood plan.
That said, though, I have a feeling some of this is already being dealt with off to the side, right? So out of the last flooding that came in July, the legislature and the governor, right, there was additional money put out for flash flooding areas and mandatory warning systems, and that money's going directly to counties, and then the counties have to coordinate in their area. So in a lot of those areas, Sujeev's, if they were having regular flooding issues like that, and I admit I'm more familiar with Central Texas, but those counties were highlighted. There's already money. It's basically they're kind of skirting this process so they could accelerate what's happening. So remember two things. One, this is just the additional ones. There may already be flood warning systems that were identified in our previous plan, so they're still there. But then there's this extra sort of accelerated process that's happening outside of the planning process, for lack of a better term, to accelerate funds to that. Yeah. So a good chance that that's happening in multiple places. I don't know, Alexis, is that close enough to what you know the Water Development Board's doing? Okay, I'm getting some nodding, so I didn't mash it up too bad.
There's on the Brazos that I know Fort Bend County Drainage District is using, and other entities all along the Brazos, Waller County, they're using, emergency managers are using those gauges to help. That's not an early warning system, but those, they are looking at that. And there are, we had talked about several meetings ago about the different platforms that are out there that can be used by emergency managers. They're not, they're kind of all over the place, but I know there's work to get those together. But anyway, there's still resources out there that people are using on the Brazos River.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next. So if y'all want to, I think last cycle, we did not have any other additional criteria other than if someone was willing to sponsor an FMX, then it gets into the plan. There was no other stricter requirements that were enforced last cycle. Just kind of wanted to remind us of the pros and cons of this. The pros of doing additional criteria for recommendation is that it can force projects into the plan that really focus on y'all's priorities and your goals. Instead of just taking everything and throwing it stuff into the flood plan, y'all have the opportunity to say, no, we only want these types of projects in the floodplain. That's a regional decision that y'all can make for Region 8. And that helps limit some of the noise, some of the smaller projects or low impact projects, and really focus on the higher regional side. So it gives y'all some of that control. The con is that once it gets into the state floodplain, y'all don't have control after that. It's all up to the development board to make the final decision based off of those ranking metrics on which projects actually get funded. So from last cycle, there's a lot of conversation about this, and I think the ultimate outcome is like we just wanted to get, if a community was willing to sponsor it and they wanted to go get funding for it at some point in the future, we didn't want to inhibit that. So we just allowed everyone to submit, and we basically recommended everything to go into the flood plan as long as we had sponsor approval is what that, but y'all willing and welcome to discuss and talk about this and pivot from that previous cycle's decision. You go to the next slide. I'll camp out here. Just some of the default criteria that we have in place right now, no negative impacts. So if you have a project, we screen each FMP to make sure that the project won't cause any type of adverse flooding upstream or downstream. And that's enforced by the development board rules and regulations. So we are checking for all of that. If there are impacts noted or if the modeling wasn't sufficient to demonstrate no impacts, then those get kicked over to an FME for further evaluation to mitigate those impacts. Sponsor approval is what we're assuming. Y'all, I think, is that a requirement? That's just our requirement.
No, that's been an RFPG.
So I'm assuming that's what y'all want to go with this time around as well, that if a community, if you want it to be recommended, a community has to give us approval to have it into the plan. And then the 1 square mile, we've already filtered those out. So anything less than 1 square mile is infeasible. So that's a default criteria for recommendation. One square mile rule has a lot of nuances. I won't go through all of it, but that's there just for y'all's recollection. It's not a true one-to-one. There's some things about critical facilities and stuff like that that allow us to nuance that a little bit. Some potential additional criteria, if y'all were interested, is we can screen them for project or study type. If you just want to focus on updating mapping and anything else, you could just screen them for that. You could focus on, you know, just doing detention rather than channels. I don't know. I just want to let y'all know that y'all can screen them by the study type or project type. You could also screen them for the magnitude if you wanted to only recommend those more regional solutions that are only benefiting a certain amount of houses or structures, or if you only wanted to benefit or only include those projects that covered a certain size, more than 1 square mile, then this is an opportunity for y'all to make some of these screening recommendations if y'all decided. So I'll stop there and let y'all ask any questions or discuss.
Piggyback off of where Ryan set us up. So I guess a couple of things, if y'all remember the last discussions we've had over 5+ years or where we're at now, was we didn't want to inhibit anybody from coming in the plan. You know, our sponsor rule, like we're not a sponsor, somebody's got to own the project, but we didn't want to make it any harder. We just want to make sure people are qualified, you know, and are going to sponsor and follow through with it. The one thing I will say about magnitude of expected benefits, this is an incredibly slow process. And anybody that's coming out of a fast building area, like ask Christina, she put the thing in the plan 5 years ago. By the time it gets to being ranked, there's 10,000 more people living there than when she started the deal. So I think we want to be really careful about quantifying impacts, because by the time the study becomes a project that goes all the way through, there's a good chance those things are escalating and changing. But from that, I'll just open to the floor. I'll start in the room. Is there anybody in the room that wants to discuss or any other criteria or have an opinion? Any of our voting members? Doesn't look like it. All right, so I'll go online. Sujith?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Well, Chair, and I think, you know, this is something we need to talk about or understand. You know, we always look at the human perspective right there, ag and livestock. I think, you know, if you need to do a square mile exceptions, we need to look into it. If there is a ranch or something, and there's a point right there where it is potentially going to seep into the areas right there and flood, I think those are the ones I think, you know, I want to hear other thoughts right there from other members, but I would be interested in that component right there where ag and livestock also consider.
So, Sujith, you're asking, you know, we have that list of exceptions on the right and you don't see one related to ag, and is it appropriate that there could be some less than some square mile project where there would be some kind of relevant ag exemption?
Yes.
I'm trying to get something off the top of my head that would fit to, that would qualify for regional. I don't know if you have an example in mind. I could definitely think of some single owner situations where, I don't know, maybe you hit a CAFO, you know, combined.
Yes. I think, you know, it could be something like a small channel or something coming in from a ranch. I don't know exactly, but I think, you know, if there could be a potential where it can back up and cause a lot of damage to the ag and the cattle right there, I think, you know, it could be that we open it up and see if any ranch owner wants to come forward to say that they've suffered significant losses, or maybe we have seen it on the riverine conditions to see the situation right there. Maybe a small amount could help out a lot of those. So that's case by case, but I think, you know, just want to throw out for discussion.
Yeah, I think I'm challenged to see how a single owner is a regional thing, but I'm curious to hear if there's others. I see some not nodding on the screen. Is there anybody else who want to, any thoughts on that? Charlotte.
Yeah, I'll offer. I'm in that boat of just struggling to see how it's regional, because it's typically like a business, a owner type thing that we're talking about. But I don't know if there's like an aggregation of a bunch of ranches near each other, if there's some way. I just don't know enough about that type of land use and ownership to really kind of see an example of how we could tie this together. But I could see, like, if there's an event, it could be affecting all of the ag land in a certain area. Is that maybe what you're thinking, Sujith?
Yes, Charlotte. I think, yeah. You know, if you look at it, it's again comes back to the food cycle right there. You know, we talk about the humans. I think, you know, we are smart enough. We can take our cars or something. We can go. But the livestock is pretty much, you can't do much on those. And also the, you know, if there's a crop or something, it's pretty much gone. You know, it's not a benefit to someone or something. Let's identify if there is something. If there are some, I think, you know, we got to see what it is, but it's going to again come back to supply demand. And I think, you know, less livestock and more prices right there for, this is a bigger picture I'm looking right there. Is there something we can help out?
I just want to remind that, like, we are accepting any project over a square mile. We're talking about under square mile. I'm not totally following that, but I guess if it's over a square mile, we are accepting everything, and they will make it to the floodplain, and they can do an abridged application if it's just focused on, even if it's just a rural project. The problem with the rural projects is now the ranking of the IUP and how much is agriculture ranked versus other types of flood risk. And so if that's a high priority, then that would, I mean, I would recommend maybe making a comment on the IUP saying, I wish maybe agriculture is ranked higher or something like that. Because again, that's kind of outside of y'all's purview, I guess, as far as how is everything ranked as far as ag and non-ag flood risk.
I think, Sujeet, if you think about it, like, it would be hard. We're talking a square mile of, like, a flood, like a watershed, right? I mean, you can't have ag on a square mile usually. I mean, like, it's a pretty big thing we're starting with. So I just don't know. One, we're not getting a lot of ag projects. So it's not like we're getting a bunch of people submitting ag projects and they're getting screened out. They're just, they're not coming in. And some of that's because some triggering and some math, and there's some other programs specifically targeted at ag. But I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure if I can think of a circumstance, and I don't know if we're solving a problem that's not there. Is anybody else some thoughts? Any of the other voting members on Sujeet's asking about whether there should be another exception? Beyond that discussion, is there any other interest in changing any of the hard criteria?
I think, Chair, I think we considered it. I hear you. I think, you know, the small ranches, I think, you know, less than square mile, they won't be in. But the bigger picture, I think, you know, we talked about it and we recognize if anyone wants to come in, we can evaluate. But at this point, let's stick to what we have. But at least we discussed.
Absolutely. And I think if we, well, you know, the consultant's aware, and if something comes in and it's some weird, unique circumstance, then we can raise that and see if we can accommodate it. Because like Ryan's saying, everything over a square mile, you know, we'll take all takers, the more the merrier. And if you're not sure, send it in anyways, right? That's always what we want to do, and we'll help you figure it out.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So I'm not hearing a whole lot of discussion. I think most of us, we really hammered on this pretty hard, put a lot of thought in. So I think we're pretty comfortable with our current screening criteria. We don't want to add any more. Unless I hear anything else from the voting members, I think we're just going to go forward with the way we are, right? We don't want to make it any harder.
Okay. So I don't think y'all have to vote or anything on this. Y'all will vote on these whenever we process it through all this. We'll bring them back to y'all, and y'all do a final vote to incorporate them into the flood plan. So I think next slide. Yeah, just kind of thinking forward. So that's all we've got, looking forward. I think the next meeting would be July. I don't think having a June meeting is necessary since we're focusing all our efforts on modeling and all that kind of stuff for the FME performance. In July, we will provide draft chapter 2 for y'all to look at and provide comments. Again, y'all are still welcome to provide chapter 3 comments to us if y'all ever get around to reading it between now and July. And task 5A, depending on where we're at, we have a lot of FMPs to go through. So we have to kind of fill out those metrics, and those are time consuming. So we will either bring that back to y'all in July or September. We're kind of leaving that open on our end. And then task 7 and 8, we will introduce those at the July meeting, flood response and then legislative recommendations. And then September, we'll start just continuing on all these tasks. So that's all I've got. Thanks, y'all.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.